happen, we have to really escalate the noise we make so that we'll be heard.
Welcome to Gay USA. I'm Andy Humm, and welcome back, Ann Northrup.
I think I'll adjust my screen here a little to try to achieve parity. Thank you, Andy. I'm happy to be back and very happy to have had Maren Johns, editor of queer40.com, fill in for me while I was taking a week off.
And what a week it's been. Let's go to the headlines. The torrent of anti-transgender legislation continues in Republican states, including Iowa, Arkansas, Wyoming, Texas, Florida, and Kentucky.
We actually have a fascinating map to show you in a minute. But a courageous, courageous Nebraska Democrat is making good on her promise to filibuster every bill in the legislature if the anti-trans bills are not withdrawn.
And students, very young students in many cases, are joining the fight back in Indiana, and country singers are joining it in Tennessee.
Also very great. Trump, in his own original way, is now gay baiting Ron DeSantis. Fine with me, by the way.
New York's attorney general hosted a drag story hour, protested by a handful and supported by many outside, including us.
Now, here's the story that really made my jaw drop this week. Yeshiva University, fighting with its LGBTQ students about a club, has now asked for the mental health records of those students who are suing for recognition of their group.
A New York man lost his suit over his firing for refusing to participate in mandatory training on LGBTQ issues.
Alfonso David, remember him? He has settled his lawsuit against the Human Rights Campaign over his firing.
U.S. bishops are now forbidding Catholic health services from providing gender-affirming care to transgender people. How Christian!
Uganda's parliament is upping the penalties for homosexuality, including locking up children who are lured into it. And we have some great video of the parliamentary debate.
An anti-transgender rally in Melbourne is joined by a large contingent of neo-Nazis.
And we have a new Stephen Sondheim show to look forward to in the fall. Okay. He's gone, but the play will appear.
Well, in the race among the red states to see who can inflict the most pain on transgender people, let's see who's winning. Should we put the map up first?
Yes, let's put up the map and take a look at that. This is so illustrative of what's going on. I love this map. I love maps in general. But this one, you can see the red states are the states that have already passed or are very close to passing bills that punish or forbid gender care for youth, for trans youth.
Those are the ones that have passed. Now, all the tan areas or orangish tan areas have a law or policy banning gender affirming care that's being considered. I don't expect some of them to pass in some of these states, but like New Jersey. But that they have been introduced, and or nor do I expect it to pass in like Virginia. But bills have been submitted to do that.
And the gray states, of course, are the states that are not currently considering any or are anywhere close to passing anything bad. But it really gives you the lay of the land here and shows you what the where the areas are that are the most dangerous for trans youth.
I don't think they had Iowa on that list. Well, certainly for gender affirming care, but they passed a bill this week to bar students from using restrooms that align with their gender identities. The vote was 57-39, though five Republicans did vote against it. Iowa forbids discrimination based on gender identity. but that didn't stop them. Iowa Safe Schools said there have been no bathroom problems with trans students since the law was enacted in 2007.
Well, there are bad bills proposed in Nebraska, but State Senator Michaela Kavanaugh is following through on her promise to do everything she can to stop them. She is filibustering on an ongoing basis every day they're in session against these bills and every other bill. And she promised at the beginning that she would stand in the way of any bill being passed in the legislature if they didn't withdraw these anti-trans
bills. She has to stand there and talk the whole time, or sit there and talk the whole time, in order to do a filibuster.
She has been doing it for weeks, weeks.
And she says that this legislature collectively decides that legislating hate against children is our priority, then I'm going to make it painful for everyone. I will burn this session to the ground over this bill.
She has succeeded so far. No bills have passed. Even though she has strep throat, she has been continuing her nonstop talking about, and she's allowed to talk about anything. Doesn't have to be germane to the bills. And she is just absolutely devoted to this.
And to stop a filibuster, it takes 33 votes. And the unicameral legislature there has 32 Republicans and 17 Democrats. So the Democrats are standing united behind her. Huh? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, we're very lucky that the Republicans.
Wyoming just enacted a law banning abortion pills, by the way. This was the first state to give women the right to vote. Mm-hmm. Giving it the name the Equality State, which came up on Jeopardy the other day. They need a new name. Providers face 6 months in prison, and the law now bans about bans abortion almost entirely. They say it's not health care.
what is it, cooking? Idaho, the House there has passed a bill mandating bathroom use only in your original gender. They are not recognizing the lived gender identities of trans or non-binary kids. That's for bathrooms and locker rooms in public schools.
Texas has a bill not just to ban the pill, but to require internet providers to take steps to block medication abortion websites so people in Texas cannot access them.
Good news from Kansas, where Governor Laura Kelly, a Democrat, has for the third time vetoed a no trans in school sports bills. She is standing up to the Republican legislature in Kansas and got reelected last year and is doing a brilliant job of just saying, no, I'm not going along with that agenda.
But in Florida, the new medical regulations rule banning most gender-affirming care for trans youth has gone into effect, though a lawsuit has been filed against it by parents represented by Southern Legal Counsel, GLBTQ Legal Advocates and Defenders, NCLR and HRC. Violation of the rule can lead to a loss of your medical license. Meanwhile, the Florida legislature has taken up a bill to hit healthcare workers with 5-year prison sentences if they provide the care.
A couple of other notes from Florida. The head of the Republican Party in Florida has said that he doesn't think Equality Florida, the LGBTQ lobbying group, should be allowed to exist.
Well, the fascist state of Florida. You know, watch out, fascists. The author of the Don't Say Gay bill, Joe Harding, pled guilty this week to federal felony fraud charges in a scheme to obtain $150,000 in COVID relief funds. He faces 35 years in prison. We'll see how tough on crime Florida is. Nadine Smith down there from Equality Florida said the legacy of this now ex-legislator is a despicable one.
Well, he lied about having a small business. He lied about needing the money. This was what the COVID money was for. And the thing that really gets to me is when Ron DeSantis then goes and does an interview with Piers Morgan, and everybody's paying attention to his snarky comments about Trump. But what he says in defense of himself is, you know, do they want some guy who's being prosecuted for giving money to a porn star? Or do they want someone who's been the governor with no drama? No drama from Ron DeSantis in Florida?
Please, if he gets to be president, the drama will be unending. Kentucky passed a ban on gender-affirming care for youth and prohibiting educators from discussing sexual orientation or gender identity with their students at any age. They have Republican supermajorities there. They fast-tracked the bills. Now, Governor Andy Beshear, a Democrat, said the bill was government intrusion in family health decisions, and the ACLU will challenge. They'll be able to overcome any kind of a veto he would put out there.
Yeah, too bad. But thank you to him for, you know, he doesn't have the luxury of Laura Kelly in Kansas, who is not facing overrides of her veto. Beshear is facing a more Republican legislature there. By the way, remember the Kim Davis in Kentucky who refused the marriage licenses to same-sex couples? Well, two male couples who were denied a license by Kim Davis have now filed a civil suit against her seeking damages for what she did to them. I guess these things never end. And years later, you can go back and keep harassing them.
And it never ends in Arkansas. Governor Sanders there signed into law a bill prohibiting trans people at public schools from using the restroom that matches their gender identity. Now, this was the issue that trans Gavin Grimm took to court in Virginia and won the right to use a restroom aligning with gender after he left the school. Arkansas is the fourth state to enact such a law. Alabama, Oklahoma, and Tennessee have. And bills are pending for that in Idaho and Iowa, awaiting signatures from the governors, Republicans. Arkansas is also looking at limiting public restrooms to people based on their birth gender. Sanders' spokesperson said, Arkansas isn't going to rewrite the rules of biology just to please a handful of far-left advocates. Principals and teachers who violate the law face fines of $1,000, and parents can file lawsuits against them in order to enforce it. It's nothing but bullying.
And it's, you know, it's like the blob. It just keeps expanding and expanding and expanding to different age groups, different places, different issues. They are just they're taking over, and they have no shame. They are relentless, and they will keep doing this until someone comes along with a blowtorch and stops it.
How can we hurt the most vulnerable in society? And where are the the courts have stepped in some of these cases and have put some of these laws on hold, but they all ought to be put on hold and put to death.
Well, here's our hope for the future, and that is in Indianapolis, Indiana, where fifth grade students decided when they heard about the laws proposed there or passed there that they were going to fight back. They were not going to stand for discrimination. And so they arranged a walkout from their elementary and middle school, their third through eighth grade school. And look at that kid in the middle. Look at all of them. They look like they're about 3 years old.
There were 100 of them.
They had expected 50 and 100 showed up. And there they are doing their own thing at their own, ideas. And they are outside the school in the streets protesting all of these bad anti-trans laws.
Well, I don't know if this had the effect, but at the first committee hearing on the bill, most of the don't say gay language was taken out. And what remained was regulating the use of pronouns and name changes in school. And it passed 65-29 back in February. But these kids are amazing.
They are. And they are the hope for the future. And thank you, kids. You're doing a great job. Please keep it up. Watch out, because this stuff will come back. The right wing is not giving up. Just because you defeat them in one area doesn't mean they're going away. They are relentless. And the Attorney General of Missouri is not waiting for the legislature to act. He just issued his own order saying that an emergency regulation limiting medical care for trans youth. It's an emergency. I have to, issue a fiat.
He calls it genital mutilation, and he is labeling it officially under the law an unfair, deceptive, unconscionable business practice. Wow, And he says, you know, it sets children up for the sake of a woke leftist agenda, which is their common refrain. And Wyoming banned trans girls from female sports, 8th through the 12th grades. There are four, count them, known trans students competing in all of Wyoming.
Better news from New Mexico, where the legislature passed a Human Rights Modernization Act to include sexual orientation and gender identity within the protected classes that cannot be discriminated against. So that may be a bulwark against these kinds of laws.
And we've got some good news from Tennessee. One, they had a benefit concert for a lot of the LGBTQ groups there by country singers and others, including Maren Morris. There, we have a picture of Maren with the drag queen, I believe. There she is. And that raised money for all kinds of LGBTQ groups in Tennessee.
It was the Love Rising benefit concert, a celebration of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Sheryl Crow also performed, and Brittany Howard, and a lot of other stars. Maren says she was quite out about, you know, I've introduced my 3-year-old to drag queens. And she said, you don't like that? Well, you can effing arrest me.
And also in Nashville, cisgender members of the indie rock band Yo La Tengo dressed in drag during their concert to protest Tennessee's ban on drag performances. That's so good on them. The ACLU.
Yeah, they came out after intermission in drag. Also, Maren Morris, maybe we can go back to that picture. She specifically wore a tuxedo outfit to be in a kind of male drag to make that point.
Right. Now, the ACLU in the state is emphasizing that the new law technically only bans drag that is, quote unquote, harmful to minors with extreme sexual or violent contact with no artistic value. So the ACLU is saying drag performances do not inherently fall into this category and are protected by the First Amendment. Tell that to the Proud Boys.
Tell it to the cops who are going to shut these things down and arrest people.
Sure. I mean, once you put these things in the hands of the police, I mean, that's how you get Lenny Bruce arrested and everybody else.
Well, I think they put in that caveat in an attempt to protect the right-wing people who might show up and address now and then and want to have a defense for that. But it's not going to stop them from harassing, arresting, intimidating, shutting down performances that are not put on by the right one.
Like they did when they had the sodomy laws on the books. They just used it to harass and terrorize us. Well, somebody who's been terrorizing us for a long time is this far-right bomb thrower, Michael Knowles of the Daily Wire. He's the one who said at the CPAC conference that transgenderism should be eradicated. Trans people are demons, and that there's no such thing as gay marriage. He once performed a gay sex scene in a little student film called The House of Shades. So much, that's him on the right, so much for his crusade to restore traditional masculinity.
Well, I will just point out that that was a college student film, and there are a lot of actors who play roles of characters who they would not endorse in real life. He's a creep. I'm not defending him, but I don't think we have to go all the way with that.
Well, I hope you won't defend the Catholic bishops. They issued a document forbidding Catholic health care services from providing gender-affirming care for transgender people, saying that such interventions do not respect the fundamental order of the human person as an intrinsic unity of body and soul with a body that is sexually differentiated. No transgender people were consulted in the preparation of these pronouncements.
Well, of course not. They don't respect trans people.
Well, even the Pope has met with transgender people.
Come on. They don't like him either. And the, you know, these are the people who wouldn't hand out condoms during the AIDS epidemic because that wasn't respectful of human life.
Well, we got them to let us on the St. Patrick's Day parade in Fifth Avenue, and I did march last Friday. So,
well, speaking of creeps, let's not forget our friend George Santos, who is now promoting a video by Project Veritas, the right-wing terrorists who claim to, you know, document bad behavior by left-wingers. This is a video of an elementary teacher promoting diversity with pride flags in her classroom and explaining respect for pronouns and gender consciousness. George Santos is now calling this indoctrination.
It's hopeless. I just hope they kick him out before his term is up. In Texas, speaking of lack of respect, a Houston doctor, Stephen Hotze, was kicked out of a state Senate session after repeatedly calling trans people perverts and pedophiles. But that's not what he was thrown out for. When a Democratic senator said that trans people were living their true lives, Hotze said, "That's bull," and he used the word for crap. And at which point the Republican chair said, "We don't tolerate that kind of language. You're excused." The Democratic Senator Jose Menendez said, "Your hate for trans people won't make them not exist."
Well, that's the point. And that's been the point all along, whether we're talking about abortion or LGBTQ people or trans people. They'd want to just wish everything out of existence and live in their narrow, homogenous little world.
And we get to Uganda. Yeah. In Tennessee, the lieutenant governor, Randy McNally, the one who was caught admiring half-naked men on Instagram, he survived a no-confidence vote from his Republican caucus, 19-7.
In Georgia, in Georgia, they have passed a bill forbidding medical care for trans youth and criminalizing doctors. But there was one valiant attempt to stop this. An out Black lesbian legislator, Park Cannon, got up and made a speech warning that people are going to start relying on black market drugs if they can't get real legitimate health care, and that the implications of passing these laws are extremely dangerous.
Well, Georgia legislature is completely out of control. They're about to pass a law that lets them take the DA in Fulton County out completely so that she can't prosecute Trump over the election fraud.
Ah, yes. Well, that's, you know, that's only a degree of difference between what's happening in all these states
and Hungary.
Out of control and Uganda and a lot of other places. But this is what happens when we don't pay attention to the elections of state legislators. That is where a lot of the power is these days. And we cannot, you know, I know it's gerrymandering, but we really have to get to work on the state legislatures. We've been saying this for many, many years.
Well, I mean, a lot of it slid under Obama. He's been chastised for that, for not, you know, supporting the party. But once you've let them draw the lines, it's very hard to get it back.
Unless, it is.
Unless you passed a law, outlawing partisan gerrymandering, which they did in New York, which screwed us over terribly in order to be able to compensate.
Why we lost the House.
Right.
Because we screwed up that process in New York. And
speaking of New York, you'll remember Alfonso David. He was fired by the Human Rights Campaign for aiding the disgraced Governor Andrew Cuomo as he battled sexual harassment charges a couple of years ago, who was his ex-boss. He settled his lawsuit with HRC. The terms are not disclosed. He accused the group of having a racist, biased culture, said he was told he was paid less because he's black, and that he was told to stop mentioning race in public comments. HRC said his complaint was riddled with untruths, but he and HRC issued a statement, joint statement, saying they share the mission of advancing human rights for all LGBT people and that it's in their mutual best interest to put this matter to bed. So David is now president and CEO of something called the Global Black Economic Forum, which works for economic justice in marginalized communities around the world.
Hallelujah. Well, let's stay in New York for a while. Yeshiva University, you know, they're the Jewish identified university. They have been fighting with their LGBT.
Jewish university, which filed as an educational institution, not as a religious institution.
I was getting to that.
Okay.
So they've been in this fight with their LGBTQ students who wanted to form a, you know, a gay straight alliance kind of student club. And the university said, absolutely not. It's against our religious values. And the student said, wait a minute, you filed as an educational institution, not as a religious institution. You can't do that. It's gone back and forth in the courts.
It hasn't gone back and forth in the courts. I mean, the courts have called it discrimination. And even the Supreme Court wouldn't take their expedited appeal.
Well, Yeshiva has an ongoing lawsuit trying to overturn those decisions. And as part of this lawsuit, they have now gone to court and demanded the mental health records of the LGBTQ students on the grounds that
you have to justify your claims of injuries.
Yes, they want documented claims of injuries. Like if the students say you're screwing with our mental health, they want them to prove it. So this is an absolutely atrocious move on the part of Yeshiva University. We're waiting for an opinion on whether or not they are entitled to those documents, but I cannot imagine a world in which they are allowed to get them.
The lawyer for the Pride Alliance said that in their zeal to disenfranchise the LGBTQ students, they misstate the basics of legal practice in New York, preferring to harass these students and fabricate a club with no members, which is the club that the university formed of Torah-based LGBTQ, whatever that means. Yeshiva is counting on the Trump Supreme Court, of course, to bail them out, though that court, again, did not take their appeal.
And we have another good court decision in New York upstate where a court has again rejected the claims of a school district employee who said that his religious rights were violated when he was mandated to attend a diversity training. And he said, you know, I don't want to go be indoctrinated.
I'm a Christian. I can't hear anything about gay people. I can't even watch television or listen to the radio anymore.
Or go outdoors. But the court said, nope, you have not been discriminated against, even though this was a mandatory training. And he says he's going to continue his appeals.
He wanted $10 million in damages. A Kern County, California judge ordered that attorneys representing a discriminatory bakery, Tastries, should be paid $3.62 million to compensate them for the financial burden placed upon the government's aggressively pursuing enforcement of its anti-discrimination law when a lesbian couple complained about not being able to get a wedding cake there. This is wow. So they are...
Well, Kern County is a very conservative part of California, and this is, I suspect this decision or order will be appealed and knocked
down. California is appealing.
Yeah. Well, I don't think they're going to end up with a $3.62 million award to the bakery. But in other New York news, let's go to the drag story hour at the LGBTQ Community Center on 13th Street here in Manhattan this past weekend.
Well, kudos to our state attorney general, top legal officer Tish James, much beloved by the Republican Party, sponsored a drag story hour.
That was facetious. And yes, she's in the midst of suing Trump.
They hate her. They want to investigate her because she's after Trump.
She
sponsored a drag story hour marathon at our LGBT community center, and a good time was had by all. We have a picture of her inside the community center. We were out there. We saw people going in. We weren't inside. People were having a good time in there.
200 parents and kids inside at the drag story hour. And I have to say, I've been to a couple of these demos now. And it is astonishing to me that the parents and kids are willing to brave the chaos outside and go inside for these events.
But we were there to protect them. So outside, about 60 or so of us showed up to protect the kids and the families. People used rainbow umbrellas. There's some of the folks going in with their kit, with the kids. That was great. There's Tony Simone and Grace Lee, two members of the assembly. Grace brought her daughter to the thing, and there are some of the drag queens outside of the event.
Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence, I would say.
Yeah, and who else? Do we have any other pictures there? Then across the street, there was a handful of protesters, and this is pretty exemplary of it. A guy holding a banner saying Trump or death. There were some ultra-Orthodox rabbis out there who showed up late saying they were anti-Zionists against the Lenin-Stein, Hitler-Stein, that they took away our children. Proud Boys were also on hand, one of them whining, I came here to help, not get the crap beat out of me.
The crap beat out of him. He had a little bleeding spot on the right side of his face that looked like he was just, you know, bumped into a branch or something.
One of them got arrested for assaulting one of us.
The guy in the gold mask. Did you see him?
Yes.
He was the one who was arrested.
Speaking of getting arrested, Donald Trump has hit with his back to the wall, gay baited Ron DeSantis this week when the Florida governor failed to fully defend him from criminal charges in New York. Trump warned DeSantis that false accusations could come his way when he's unfairly and illegally attacked by a woman, even classmates that are underage or possibly a man.
Well, this is playing off that photo of DeSantis when he was a teacher hanging out with three women who were students, and they're all drinking, and questions have been raised about whether he was inappropriately fraternizing with those students, and how old were they and what were they really doing. So Trump is taking advantage of that and throwing it a little gay baiting as icing on the cake.
This is really a border skirmish in the Republican war, and I don't think we should get involved.
But it's so delicious. How can we resist?
In South Carolina, the big news, the death of 19-year-old Stephen Smith in 2015, a young gay nursing student. There he is with his mother, Sandy, who was his body was found near the Murdaugh estate, and you might have heard of them, in Islington, South Carolina. Is now being investigated as a homicide. He was a classmate of Buster Murdaugh, who vehemently denies any romantic involvement with Smith or having anything to do with his murder. But there were no indications that Smith died as a result of a hit and run, as was originally stated, and the state has moved to exhume his body.
Now, last week, Andy told you about the circus show coming up with coverage of Rise and Resist protesting Fox, but he told you it was on HBO. Well, it turns out that was not a terrible thing to say because it didn't air on Showtime, its actual home, either. Because what happened was that Rise and Resist showed up as they do every Tuesday outside Fox here on 6th Avenue. To hold up a lot of, you know, now they're showing the quotes from the Fox anchors about what they really think of Trump. So the Showtime crew with Mark McKinnon and others showed up to tape them. But then Mark McKinnon gets back to the studio, keep that up for a minute, and realizes that he didn't do a stand-up of himself promoting the segment. So they called up Rise and Resist and said, could you come back on Wednesday so we can shoot that? And Rise and Resist, who are willing to show up and demonstrate anytime, anywhere, showed up. And there's McKinnon talking to them. But that's fake news. You can't go back and create a scene that you've missed as a journalist and then act as if that was where you were.
Well, I agree. Although I do have to say, sometimes I'll be covering a demo with a camera and I'll say, would you hold up that sign, please? Which is kind of, you know, asking for a little help there.
Yeah, it's not entirely legitimate, but it's not as bad as what they did. Now, the circus at Showtime is hosted by Mark McKinnon, who's a political consultant, not a journalist. Jen Palmieri, who is also a political consultant, not a journalist, and John Heilman, who is a journalist. And what they did on the circus on Sunday, instead of showing any of the Rise and Resist demo or even naming them, would show the three of them sitting around and discussing what a huge mistake they'd made, which was annoying.
Anyway, well, we showed you the pictures.
Yeah.
Okay.
But Rise and Resist was going to go demonstrate at Fox this week on Wednesday, today as we're taping, just as a cute little follow-up to to that whole story.
Because Fox noticed and they said, wait a minute, you're not supposed to be here on Wednesdays.
Yes, that's how they got caught. Fox called them on it.
at least they're watching.
Yeah.
All right.
One more state story we missed. In Florida court, the 11th Circuit, this is a good story, denied a request by the right wing to stop the injunction currently in place against the Stop Woke Act while that is being challenged in court. The court said, no, we're not dropping the injunction. We're keeping it in place. You cannot invoke the Stop Woke Act yet until we consider it in court.
And another murder of a trans woman of color, this time in Houston. We have a picture of her. Maricela Castro, murdered in Houston in December, and we're just learning about it now.
No, I think we may have covered it, but the story here now is that they have arrested and charged a 17-year-old guy for the murder. And so it's nice when they actually find and arrest a perpetrator and follow up.
Okay. All right. We want to remember Frank Griswold, the presiding bishop of the Episcopal Church in 2003, who voted to make out gay Gene Robinson bishop of New Hampshire. Now, there's Gene in the middle. That's Griswold there on the right. He has died at the age of 85, and he presided over the consecration of Gene as a bishop, both wearing bulletproof vests while they were doing it. He was considered a scholarly moderate when he was elected in 1997. In 1994, as Bishop of Chicago, he signed a statement that a person's sexual orientation is morally neutral and that faithful gay relationships were worthy of honor. If we can accept that there are new truths that science brings us or new discoveries in medicine, why is it when it comes to sexuality, there is no new truth?
I want to read a couple of other paragraphs from the New York Times obit. When he was elected Bishop of Chicago in 1987, the diocese's clergy included no women. This is the Episcopal Church. When he left early in 1998, 11 years later, to become presiding bishop of the church nationally, 41 of the 146 priests in the diocese were women.
Well, that's what happens. You let one in and then they take over, which is nice.
In 1994, he was among 80 bishops who signed a statement declaring that sexual orientation is morally neutral and that faithful, monogamous, committed gay relationships were worthy of honor. That's 30 years ago. And he said a number of those most upset about are seemingly ignoring scripture, though they are solidly heterosexual, have enjoyed the mercy of the church in the case of their own divorce and remarriage.
Indeed.
Hypocrites. Right. So thank you. Thank you, Reverend Bishop Griswold.
Right, Reverend.
Okay. Thank you for the correction. One piece of good news out of Florida. Martina Navratilova has been declared cancer-free of both her recently diagnosed new cancer. So she's in good shape.
Okay. International news. Yep. Well, we're going to mainly talk about Uganda here, but Peter Tatchell, our friend there in London, and working with groups called Out and Proud African LGBTQI, led a protest of Commonwealth Day, of the Commonwealth Day service at Westminster Abbey last week, particularly protesting Uganda's legislation, which has now become law, which metes out these horrible sentences for all kinds of gay stuff, which we are going to talk about. Now, at the service, King Charles said the Commonwealth can be a force for good, promoting values of tolerance, respect, and solidarity. And while he expressed sorrow about the slave trade that enriched his ancestors so nicely, and basically his family, didn't say anything about the anti-gay laws that Britain imposed on its colonies that are now Commonwealth nations. So let's talk about your guest.
Well, I just want to point out, as it said on Tatchell's signs, 32 of 56 countries in the Commonwealth still criminalize homosexuality. 32 of 56.
I guess we can say that, well, among the very worst is Uganda. Now, they already had terrible penalties for gay stuff, all kinds of laws against gay people, but they just really piled on in Parliament this week with this bill. And I watched the session. I watched this session. And they just yucked it up while people said, oh, I don't want 10 years for that. Let's make it 50 years. And then they all start laughing. Oh, no, no, no. We'll only make it 30 years for that crime. I mean, they just went on and on and on. Two people in the legislature out of 389 voted against this legislation. Now, here are the unique things about this. They have basically made being gay a crime. Identifying or being identified as gay as a crime. I mean, to be locked up for years and years in prison. And then this thing about children, 3 years imprisonment for a child who has been lured into homosexuality. Now, if they hate homosexuality, they might think the child is some kind of a victim. No, the child needs to be locked up in prison. I mean, this is insane. But they were all very happy with themselves and self-satisfied. We even have a video of one of them making a statement at the end of the session.
Right, Honorable Speaker, the passing of this bill into law has demonstrated clearly that this Parliament recognizes the fact that the order of nature is loud and clear. And the order of nature is: a man goes with a man. A man goes with a woman, sorry. For clarity, let me repeat that in passing this bill into law, this Parliament has demonstrated clearly that the order of nature is clear. That a man goes with a woman. A he-goat goes with a she-goat. A cock goes with a hen. A bull goes with a cow.
So let's just reduce us to our animal nature. But, of course, that was quite
animal nature, that's incorrect. Send him the book about same-sex couplings in nature.
All species, what do they know? This bill says all same-sex conduct is now declared non-consensual. There is a death penalty for HIV-positive people who have same-sex relations. Now, or relations. The U.S. Secretary of State, Anthony Blinken, denounced it as undermining human rights and reversing all the gains that we've made on HIV/AIDS and is strongly asking for reconsideration. Now, this is under President Museveni, right, who has to decide whether to side this. But, I mean, what's her name? I watched this woman who was the head of the her name is she's the speaker. Anita Among is her name. And she said, this business of intimidating that, you know, you'll not be able to go to America. What is America? We don't care about America. I mean, this is the attitude they have. So give us your sanctions. We don't care. We're protecting our people from this horrible vice.
Demons. That's what we are. Well, it's very discouraging. And I know there are calls for Museveni to veto the bill, but I'm not holding my breath for that to happen.
I don't know if they can override vetoes. And I mean, he's like president forever over there.
Yeah.
Maybe they wouldn't override him. But I mean, again, it's just piling on and what people must be going through over there. Frank Mugisha, who we've had on this show, you know,
sexual minorities of Uganda,
you know, just said you basically made, you know, our existence illegal.
Well, it would be nice if we opened up some easier routes for refugees and for asylum for people who are facing.
I won't be going to Uganda anytime soon.
Good choice.
Okay. Also, back in London, anti-LGBTQ protesters showed up at an East Dulwich pub. It's a nice suburb there in London. The Great Exhibition, to protest a drag event that was not taking place. Now, this is our side showing up. There were about 100 people on each side. But the point is, the pub had an old listing on their website that said, we do this every month. They haven't done it for a year. So the right-wing crazies, which are fascist groups, do show up. And among them who showed up was the actor Lawrence Fox and a guy named Pastor Calvin Robertson, who is a British fascist.
Well, the one anti guy arrested at the New York drag story hour at the community center was from Fishkill upstate in New York. He had traveled from a couple of hours from upstate to come participate in this this event. It takes nothing to get them out of the house to come yell at us and threaten violence. All right. And speaking of threatening violence, let's go to Melbourne, Australia, where gay people there were faced with a line of avowed Nazis.
Well, this was a big anti-trans protest, 300 people at Parliament House, but it included 30 people from the neo-Nazi National Socialist Network, many of whom with their faces covered did this with a Nazi salute. This has led leaders in Victoria to plan to move to ban the Nazi salute. They've already banned the swastika there. You can't do this in this country with the First Amendment, but they banned the swastika under penalty of a year in prison and a fine of $15,000. And they said it's been very effective. A lawmaker from the center-right Liberal Party was there, Moira Deeming, attending the rally. And there are now calls to expel her from that party, which is a conservative party there. She claimed the neo-Nazis gatecrashed the event, but she stayed while they were doing all this stuff, and they're saying get rid of her. And the state premier of Victoria, Daniel Andrews, affirmed his support for transgender rights, condemned the rally. The Nazi salute, by the way, is banned in Germany, Austria, Poland, and Slovakia.
Well, I am struck by the extent to which people who used to spew their hate online or from behind closed doors are now right out on the streets doing this stuff without any second thoughts.
Some of them are wearing masks.
Well, I just think it's escalating. They're more overt. They are more bold than they have been.
I hope it repels. I mean, even this legislator who said, "Yeah, I went to the anti-trans rally, but you know, I'm not for Nazis." I hope it will maybe peel a few people away from, that's kind of what lost the Republicans the Senate last year. They had too many extremists on their side.
Yeah. And I do have faith in the people who have fought back at the ballot box or fifth graders in the street or whatever. But it's very scary as these antis are bolder and bolder about their violence and their threats.
Yes.
In Bosnia Herzegovina, this past weekend, in a suburb of Sarajevo, Banja the cops shut down an LGBTQ event on the grounds that they could not provide enough security. Activists, it was not a protest event; it was just a gathering. And the activists then went into a conference room or whatever to discuss what they were going to do. And as they then left their planning meeting, they were viciously attacked by right-wing thugs. And the cops were not there to provide security, so they got beaten up a lot. And the government, the president of Bosnia-Herzegovina and the mayor of the town, condemned the LGBT people, not the attackers.
All right. Better news. Bolivia, the Constitutional Court legalized same-sex unions, what Bolivia calls free unions, or it may be free unions and same-sex marriage with identical rights and obligations. We're not entirely sure.
And in Nepal, the Supreme Court ordered the government to recognize same-sex marriages. Very good.
And the European Parliament has joined the court case against Hungary's anti-LGBTQ law. The Committee on Legal Affairs voted 18-2 to join the case. If you attack our values, you will find the European Parliament in your path, said Pierre MEP and vice president of the LGBTQI intergroup. Five member states have joined this suit: Belgium, Luxembourg, the Netherlands, Portugal, and Austria. Put them on your visitors list this summer.
Well, the European Union and their parliament have certainly supported LGBT rights and people over the years, but being as official as joining this lawsuit is an escalation of their support, and especially since Hungary is a member of the European Union.
Yeah, they want all the benefits and they don't want to comply with European Union norms.
Well, I think the European Union is saying we've had it with that, and you're either going to get on board
with Russia
or face some consequences.
Venezuela, the high court there struck down the military's ban on gay sex. Venezuela has no comprehensive LGBTQ rights law, and its labor code does prohibit employment discrimination based on sexual orientation, and its housing law prohibits discrimination based on sexual orientation and gender identity, but same-sex marriages are not recognized.
And Namibia, the Supreme Court there has overruled the lower court on the issue of citizenship for a child born to a same-sex male couple, one of whom is a Namibia citizen and the other is a Mexican citizen, I believe. They had the child born to a surrogate in, I think, South Africa, and the lower courts upheld the citizenship of the child. They went back and forth on that for a while, but now the Supreme Court of Namibia has taken that away and said, no, the child cannot be considered a citizen because you can't prove that these two men in this couple are both the fathers of this child. Tell really? Do you hold straight people to that standard?
Tell us about the Saudi trans woman who took her own life.
Well, this is Eden Knight. She was living in the United States. She was kidnapped from her parents by her parents and taken back to Saudi Arabia. She was forced to go off hormones and locked up and just horrendously abused. And she ended up committing suicide. It's a terrible story.
And terrible story in Italy. We told you last week how Italy, with this new fascist-leaning government, you know, was trying to soft pedal itself for a while, but now they rolled back the rights of same-sex parents, not allowing for co-parenting and all that kind of stuff, and only the biological parent recognized. So in Milan, hundreds of people turned out in the streets to protest there. Good on them, because that, you know, their policy.
Maybe even thousands. There are, of course, yeah, arguments about the size of the crowd. All right. Mm-hmm. Do you have any AIDS news?
Well, I was just going to mention how they, you know, on COVID, how, you know, we talk about Florida and all the anti-gay stuff, but in their hospitals, these right-wingers are taking over and demanding all kinds of, you know, treatments like ivermectin, and, you know, they might as well ask for bleach up their veins, and they're taking over the hospital boards, and doctors are just leaving. They're saying, we can't work here if you're going to do this.
I think it's ivermectin and that other thing that Trump was promoting.
And it happened in Idaho, too. The only hospital there in Sandpoint is shutting down its labor and delivery services because they have a provider shortage because the legislation criminalizes medical care for pregnant people. And physicians are just leaving. I mean, this is what you want in your states because of your zeal to introduce all this right-wing crap?
It's a very interesting question. Where will they draw the line? How much will it have to affect them personally before they...
We've got 3.5 minutes, entertainment news. Yes. The last work of Stephen Sondheim will have its world premiere at The Shed right up the block here in Hudson Yards in the fall. It's a collaboration with David Ives, based on the film The Exterminating Angel and the Discrete Trauma of the Bourgeoisie. Joe Mantello will direct, and it's called Here We Are.
And Tom Curtehay is producing. I've seen The Discreet Charm of the Bourgeoisie. I don't think I've seen The Exterminating Angel. It's very sort of surreal. A lot of dreams.
Well, yeah.
Yes, yes. But that's coming in the fall. And it's official. Lucas Gage and Chris Appleton are now officially out as a couple. Lucas, you may remember on the left from the first season of White Lotus, where he was being used sexually by, what's his name, Murray. You know
Head. Who I mean. No, not Murray Head.
No. And
Bartlett.
Thank you. And Chris Appleton is a big celebrity hairstylist in Hollywood. So they posted pictures of their Mexican vacation on Instagram, and they are now officially out.
I saw at the Irish Rep Theater, Endgame by Samuel Beckett, my main man there, starring Bill Irwin there on the right as Clove, and John Douglas Thompson, the Shakespearean actor, as Ham. It's a very dark classic about codependency and despair, a little hard to compete with the state of the world today, but very well acted. It closes April 16th, and the last four performances are going to be live streams. So go to irishrep.org for more information if you need a Beckett fix.
And if you need an India fix, a little update on Andy's note last week. RRR, the Oscar-nominated film and winner of the Music Award, actually is on Netflix now. You do not have to wait till May. It's there.
And I saw the Broadway revival of Parade, starring Ben Platt and Michaela Diamond as Leo and Lucille Frank. Now, Leo was falsely charged and convicted in 1913 in Atlanta of murdering a 13-year-old girl in his factory there. And this is a true story. It shows us the anti-Semitism and racism of the day, which are also enjoying revivals there in Georgia, which is, the show itself was very stirring and moving. The overzealous prosecutor there reminded me of Lee Zeldin a lot.
Who has a new consulting business.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So you're recommending Parade?
Yeah, I do. I saw it with our friend Shep Wannan.
Who I'm sure was quite moved by it.
Yes, he was.
I say that because he's moved by everything.
Well, all right. And I hope you're moved to, get involved and stop all this nonsense that's going on the States.
We tell you about it because we want you to look around in your local area and see what's going on and what you can do. More of that next week when we see you.